Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Millionaire Marriage Podcast. I'm Jeremy Gilliam here with Taylor Kovar.
What's up, everybody?
And today we are going to be talking about waking up next to a stranger. Now, for clarity's sake, we are not talking about waking up to someone you do not know.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of experience waking up to like a one night stand.
Right.
I don't know. Matter of fact, I have zero experience.
Okay, there, yeah. So let's clarify that.
Just,
yeah.
Meg, if you're listening to this one, just make sure I'm saying Meg.
He has no zero experience there. Right.
So, just to clear the air there. No, yeah. So we're not talking about waking to an actual stranger, but instead,
we're talking about waking up to your spouse one day and realizing you have no idea who they are anymore.
Yeah. Total stranger danger. Yep. It's like, I don't know who this person is that I'm married. They don't look the same. They don't act the same. They don't smell the same. Right. Like they're snoring constantly. Like what's the deal? You're waking up next to this person then you don't even really recognize. And it happens in marriages every day.
All the time.
Every day. Right. This is what we said before, you know, statistically you have a influx or a large percentage of marriages that end at certain years. Yep. Right. And we go with, you know, okay, well, year seven, the whole 7 year itch thing, right? Like it's known. We see a bunch in that, you know, early 20 years of marriage, right? Because they have empty nesters and you look and say,
empty nesters.
We've been so focused on the kids, right? That I don't even know who I'm married to anymore.
Yep.
You know, I know even for newlyweds, and we deal with newlyweds on a weekly basis at our church. We see this a lot. We're like, hey, we've only been married a handful of years, but like, this person is different than who I married.
Yes.
Right. Like and Megan has said the same thing about me before. She's like, you know, I never thought you would own your own business. I never wanted to marry a business owner. My dad was a business owner. Like,
yeah,
you know, this is weird because this was not who you were whenever we got married.
Yeah.
And now we have several hundred employees.
Yeah.
Right. So, Jeremy, what can we do?
Give
some clinical insight here. And I'll try to be somewhat professional.
Yeah. So I think what we have is, when we look at people and to be clear, this can happen at any stage in a relationship. It would be super uncommon for it to happen like early in a marriage. You know, they've only been married, you know, a year, 2 years. That would be uncommon. So, but when we look at families and marriages, we look at them on the spectrum. And this is not to say like, obviously people don't fit into our nice little boxes of our diagrams.
It'd be nice if they did.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It'd make my job a lot easier. So you look at people and it's like, they all start off as single, young. And the sad thing is they all end usually single, old. And so you have the gamut in between. You have, you know, young married without children, young married with dependent children, middle-aged married without dependent children. You have old married, then you have old unmarried. And so what we're talking about is it usually happens. Oftentimes what I've noticed in some of my clinical work is it happens around, it can start happening. Let me clarify. Yeah. It can start happening around like when you start having small kids. That's when it really starts. Cause what happens, and we've talked about this in our podcast already, is you start making your whole marriage about your kids. So you roll into your identity as dad or as wife, but this can also happen regardless if you have kids or not.
Because it's definitely common when you have kids.
Yeah.
Everything changes.
Yeah.
Everything changes.
Absolutely. Definitely. So yeah, absolutely. But this, because some people may be listening, well, we don't have kids, so we're not going to run into this problem. That's not to say that.
No,
you absolutely might run into this problem. And so it's this idea that just as we progress through time, we change.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this, but it's so funny because it's like, oh, they're not the woman or they're not the man I married. Yes, you are correct. Yeah. Matter of fact, I know we've talked about this before, but it's this idea that I am waking up to this person and I have not done my due diligence for however long I've been married to make sure that I continue to learn and know who my spouse is. And so this is why you're exactly right. We have couples that will be married 50 years and it's like, I don't even know who my spouse is. And how sad to get to that place where you have been with somebody for so long. And then you realize one day, I just woke up to a stranger. I don't even know you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens and it's really easy to blame kids, right? And I'll say blame kids whenever we have kids. Things change, right? And there's another somebody in the house and we can't just go do whatever we want to.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have things like that happen. You know, we also see it with different careers, right? And career paths or changes in careers where it's like, hey, I'm getting really serious with my job. Like I have to work overtime or I've got to be, you know, on the right. road a lot. And you just start losing interest, right? And I know you said before, you know, you want a degree in air ecology,
that's right.
right? Or whatever. Yeah. And I love that, right? I think about that a lot. Not because I want a degree in air ecology, like I'm with Megan, right? So, right. Just to clear there.
Yeah.
But, no, because it is, it's really easy to just kind of always keep things kind of surface. And before you know it, you've quit really digging into your spouse, right? And keeping to know what they are. Because eventually the stories about the office are all like, they're routine, they're boring. Like I've heard it before, it's the same drama, it's the same people or it's whatever.
Right.
And you just kind of drift apart and, you know, one day you wake up and I pulled this song up, right? So George Strait, right? If you're thinking you want a stranger, you know, and it really, and there's a reason it was a very, very popular song, right? So lately you've been showing all the signs of a woman with someone else on her mind. It's not your night. It's not your fault, right? Some nights I've left you alone. If you're thinking you want a stranger, there's one coming home, right? I love old George Strait. If you're listening, George, we'll
not
see
a sponsor,
you soon, hopefully.
Not a sponsor. Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, George Strait's not a sponsor.
I love old George, right? But seriously, you know, and we see that a lot with couples saying, hey, you know, I've woken up next to somebody that I may not like, right? I may not know, right? Or I've just been so disinterested for so long, or we've been in such a child-centered home or a career-centered home
right.
that I really don't even know this person anymore.
Right.
And it's really easy. Like in our relationship, you know, Megan worked and I worked as well and got my degree, right? But she really supported me while I got my degree. And then I was really, really focused on work for a long time and we're having kids. It became like we were almost living in two different circles.
Yeah.
Right. I had work and everything there and she had kids and everything at home and those don't overlap a lot except for a few hours in the evening.
Right.
And so, unless we were being intentional about date night, right. And intentional about spending time together, intentional about a bedtime for the kids so that we can be together. It's extremely easy to just always live in our own little circles until something changes there.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about this. Also, not just from a clinical side, but from a practical side. So what do you do if you find yourself in this situation where like the person who's cooking dinner or the person who just went to work, you're going, man, like, I don't really know who this is. So this is going to sound, I mean, semi-simplistic, but when you're trying to really learn somebody, that can be simplistic, also can be complex as well. So I'm thinking in my mind, what are some things that people can do? Like if you're listening and you've, you know, woken up in this situation, you've are in a relationship with somebody you don't know anymore. What do you do then? I think a great place to start is start creating unique experiences again as a couple. Cause that's what happens. Like when couples first get together, everything's
new.
Brand new.
Yeah.
And so they have all these experiences from when everything is brand new, right? But when you've been married 12, 15, 20 years, there's not a whole lot of new experiences anymore that you guys are doing together. Yeah. And so I guess an idea would be find something that is so unique that you guys haven't done and do it together and start creating these shared memories of this person that has kind of grown distant. And it happens and it's sad because couples do, they grow apart naturally. And I think we've talked about entropy already, but it's this idea that things just naturally disintegrate. And I use this all the time in my teaching and then also in my work is because people want to go like, well, what do I have to do to be a bad spouse? You don't have to, you know, be neglectful or abusive. You just have to do nothing.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing about like when, how do you get to the point where you wake up and you're waking up next to a stranger? Right. Great question. Just do nothing. Do zero. Nothing.
Yeah.
If you do zero for your marriage, you are going to wake up in 10 years and not know who your spouse is. If you aren't to the place where you are daily making a decision to engage with your spouse, you don't have to be the challenge. Like you don't have to be a bad husband.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a bad wife. You just have to do nothing. Just live life and not be intentional with your spouse. And it's just like, it's the natural deterioration. And so that's the second law of thermodynamics is that energy, it naturally deteriorates into chaos and disorder. And it happens with systems. Well, marriage is a system. And if we do nothing, if we don't do anything, good or bad, our marriage is going to naturally descend into chaos, disorder, dysfunction, because we're not intentionally adding energy. It's funny at my office at the school. I know people look at it, they probably think I'm super weird.
No one thinks I'm super weird. No, not at all.
But I have on my bookshelf, so how I have my camera facing when I'm on Zoom calls, on my bookshelf, I have a glow in the dark star that's sitting on my bookshelf. It's visible in everything I do. And so glow in the dark star is a perfect example of marriage, energy, and entropy. So in order for a glow in the dark star to shine in the night, it has to have energy. So when you put energy on it, it'll glow, but you can watch it and it will naturally just start to fade into nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do anything for that star to stop fading.
But you had to give it some energy in order to.
But I had to
glow.
Yep. And if I want to continue shining, I keep that light on it and I keep adding energy to it. That's the same thing. So doing nothing, you want to become a stranger, just do nothing.
Yeah.
So to reverse this idea that, like, I don't know who this person is. Well, start with some of these unique experiences. Click the flashlight back on of your marriage, so to speak. Start adding more energy into your marriage.
Yeah, the same, you know, like you said, that when we first get to know each other, right? So when Megan and I first started dating, I would call her, and we were like 14, 15, right? I was calling her at 8 or 9 o'clock every night, and we were talking for hours.
Right.
Hours on the phone, right? About anything and everything, almost every single night, hours upon hours upon hours talking on the phone. And now, like, man, if we have a phone call that lasts, you know, 4 minutes, it's like, wow, that's weird. Right? Like, so, well, it was new.
Nothing's new now.
No, nothing, because it is what it is. Right. Yeah. But, and that's why, you know, we're such big advocates of date night and, hey, spending a weekend alone and going on vacation together, just you two.
Absolutely.
Because it does, it helps create those unique experiences. And so I think I love how you said, if you're waking up next to a stranger, right, get back to that new, right? Begin dating your spouse again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think of the things of where, like, I know, right? I know what food Megan likes. And she knows what food I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been married so long that those things have changed, right? Yeah. When we first got married, like, when I went to eat a hamburger, it was always plain and dry.
Yeah.
Like, boom, nothing on it. Like, literally plain and dry. And now I'm like, yeah, load it up with everything you got. I want as many pickles as you got. I want mustard. I want spicy. Like, I want whatever you got. Yeah. And she was the opposite. She always wanted her hamburger loaded up. Now she's just mayonnaise and I'm loaded up. Right. And so, you know, our taste buds change every 7 years or something like that. Like, it's common for that to happen. If in a marriage, right, things are going to change. Get back to something new. Go try something.
Yeah.
Whether that's a trip, whether that's a new restaurant.
Absolutely.
You know, when we travel, we kind of have a rule like, hey, we don't need any chains. If we have that restaurant back at home, we're going to try our best not to eat there.
Yeah.
Right. And if we're in a hurry, like, oh, yeah, we're swinging through McDonald's and we're hitting the road or whatever. Yeah.
I'm sorry about McDonald's.
Yeah. Or Chick-fil-A. Right.
Okay. So it's really there we go. Okay. Right? I mean, we raise the standards just Chick-fil-A, a little bit here.
Yeah. Freddy's. Yeah. We really love Freddy's. Yeah. Right. And so if you're listening, Freddy's, we really love Freddy's and Chick-fil-A. But no, trying out something new because it does, right? It brings something out. It releases endorphins, right? It does things.
Sure.
Like, hey, I'm not sure what this is, but I'm going to give it a shot. And I think doing those with your spouse is extremely important and getting in that routine so that you don't ever get to the spot where you're waking up next to a stranger.
Yeah.
But if you do, how can we really move past it? So we're creating unique experiences, right? How do we deal with some of the emotional side of somebody saying, I'm not sure I want to get to know this person, right? Like, I loved them at one point. We have this family together, but honestly, like, I'm not even sure I like this person because again, when we got married, they looked like this. They sounded like this. These were their goals. Well, now we're 20 years down the road or 10 years down the road. They don't look the same, right? They're not physically the person that I married.
Sure.
You know, just like Megan and I, she thought she was going to marry somebody who was like climbing a corporate ladder, would never own a business. And now we have hundreds of employees, right? Like, so, you know, we're in very different spots than when we were married. How do we kind of address some of that emotional side of things?
So I think this leads to a bigger question. And when you said, well, how do you work with the emotional side of this? So, and And I know we've discussed another podcast idea of help, I've fallen out of love.
Yeah.
And so, and be looking for that, because I'm sure we'll do that here in the near future. But it's this idea that is love a feeling, or is love a choice? And what does that mean? So you've been married 20 years. I don't even know if I want to.
Yeah.
So that's a choice you're going to make then. And so if that be the case, is there a way that you can then choose to say, I don't know that I want to, but I'll try. Yeah. And so, because oftentimes, and you see this with couples that married a long time, some just stay married just because, not because things are just going super great, but just because they are.
Because it's cheaper to keep her.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, but honestly, like, our production team's like mouth open, right? But literally, I mean, that's a common quote, right? Yeah.
Marriage is grand, divorce is 10.
Yes, so, right? Like, that's right. Yes.
And so it's this idea that if I've lost emotional connection with my spouse, I've mentioned him before, and I've actually mentioned his work before, and the app you can download, which we'll put in the link of the podcast, marriage family therapist. His name is John Gottman.
Oh, I love that app. I downloaded the day you told me, and I use it all the time.
So I opened the app. So it's this idea. He has what he calls the sound relationship house, and the sound relationship house, the walls of it are trust and commitment. So we have to have trust and commitment to hold this house together. But the very foundation is what he calls love maps. So it's creating this emotional connection. And so on the app, it's, matter of fact, it's the first box on the app. It's called love maps. And basically what it's doing is you are taking the opportunity to continue to learn your spouse. And this idea about waking up next to a stranger, well, how do I create that then, that emotional connection I did have? Well, you had that emotional connection because you guys were at the beginning, you're around each other, right? It's like that your flashlight was always on.
Yeah.
And then somehow in the last 20, 30, 40 years, you clicked the flashlight off, and your star has been running on energy that you put in, but now it's starting to run lower, go out completely. And so the whole idea behind the love maps is it's asking questions like, you know, and this is some, there's more others than just this basic one, like, what's your partner's favorite food? Okay, what am I doing? Why would I ask myself that? Right? Because I'm learning to map my partner. I'm creating these love maps, because if I know my partner likes or loves this, I'm going to do something about it. And so if you're waking up in that situation, you're going, well, I don't even know if I want to. You have really two choices. Three, you can continue what you're doing now, which is nothing, and your marriage will probably stay your marriage will stay the same.
Yeah, because you're doing nothing.
Yeah, you're doing the exact same. Yeah. You're doing nothing.
And you may be married for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And people will congratulate you for being married 50 years, but your marriage
is empty.
Right? Like, yeah, it's not even good. So, yeah.
So you can do nothing, which is what you've been doing. You can dissolve your marriage, quit, and get a divorce, which we're not advocates of. I mean, I got into marriage and family therapy to see marriages whole. Yeah. Then the third option is you start trying. And so that's the idea behind building love maps, is I'm okay. I don't want my marriage to dissolve. I don't want to get a divorce. And what we're doing now is not even tolerable. We can't keep doing this. And so the Gottman app just gives you very quick references of building love maps with your spouse. And I love the second one, and I was going to go there, and I totally forgot that it was on the app. Is the top, the next block on the right hand side is open-ended questions. Yep. So we use open-ended questions in therapy all the time, primarily what we do. An open-ended question, I'll give you an example. A close-ended question is, do you like salsa? The answer is yes or no.
Yeah.
Generally, right? Instead of asking something like that, so tell me about the condiments you like.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? I really enjoy these types of things. And that might be a not the greatest example.
No, it's a good example. Yeah. We do the same thing when we do financial plans. It's like, hey, tell me more, right? Like, I want to know more.
Exactly.
Tell me more about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so build love maps and then use this idea of open-ended questions, because almost any question could be reframed to be open-ended. So close-ended, it just requires a simple response. Like, how was your day?
Fine.
Good. Fine. Right.
Yeah.
The idea behind an open-ended question is that I am asking the question in a way that will allow you to respond any way you want to respond. Yeah. And it allows conversations to go beyond surface level. 'Cause that's what happens, right? Mm-hmm. Especially couples have been married a long time.
Oh yeah.
You just have these surface level conversations. Yeah. And it's like, it's like the whole iceberg. We're not getting down to the bottom of the iceberg. We're just kind of here at the surface, not really connecting. So ask open-ended questions in order to allow your conversations to be more intimate with your spouse.
Yeah. You know, like, I know a lot of people talk about work, right, with their spouse. You and I are both in industries, right, where that's not really allowed, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's extremely confidential information that we're dealing with, right? Or HIPAA is involved.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, there's, we have to pull from other resources, right? Or other sources of conversation. And that's why I love, like, these, you know, this card deck app, right? Is even if it's something small, it gets the conversation going.
Yeah.
And even like when I pulled up right there, I was like, you know, what's your favorite food? Right. I was like, okay, well, like, oh, I know her favorite food is spaghetti. Well, that may have been right 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's right now.
Yeah.
And all right, well, what spaghetti, right? We're talking about chicken spaghetti, we're talking about regular spaghetti, we're talking about from this place or that place. And it really just starts to open those conversations. Even though some are basic, it's more than just surface level. Like it requires some kind of thought or some kind of response, and can open up the conversation. There's all kind of resources. We're in the process of creating some ourselves, right, to help people. And we're huge advocates of it. Like, Megan and I pull up this app and a few others pretty routinely on road trips.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, we're in the car. I tell you what, here we go. Like, you know, big on, what are those called? Would you rather?
Yeah.
Right. Would you rather? Right. And they're fun with kids, right? And they're fun with your spouses.
Yeah.
Hey, would you rather go to the beach or the mountains? Okay. Why? Right. Would you rather go to, you know, Egypt or, you know, France, and why? Right. And those are really fun, and they just kind of get the conversation going, and it's a good way to get reconnected with your spouse.
Yeah.
Right. It's a first easy step.
Yep.
And so, you know, when you're waking up next to a stranger, you know, in my opinion, you get those three choices, right? You do nothing and keep going. You just quit and like, hey, I'm ready to try something else. Or you try, right? And that's what we promote all the time, right? Here on this podcast and other things we do is trying. And it doesn't have to be, you know, we think about trying in our marriage, like, I mean, I don't want to put in an 18-hour shift. Like, you know, like, it doesn't, it's just one little step a time, right? Yeah. One little, shovel of dirt a day. Right. And you can get there. But you have to try.
Yeah. Well, and I'm even thinking just about some of the other episodes that we've recorded and some of the things that we've talked about is, and I'm not trying to like re-talk about the whole episode, but this idea, like the meaningful endurance episode, where it's like, when you get to this point, well, I'm too tired to try.
Yeah.
Like, we've been married 30 years. Is it really going to make?
They're never going to change.
Yeah. Is it going to make any difference? Well, I don't know. Like, I see guys that are like 60 years older and are just jacked from going to the gym.
Yeah.
Obviously, it worked for them in their later years physically. Right. But they had to tolerate a lot of discomfort, even at that particular age. Yep. And so it's like, can it happen? Like, oh, can an old dog learn new tricks? Yes. And they do all the time. So can things change? Yes. But it's going to take you putting in some work on your part, putting in effort on your part in enduring the discomfort, because it's going to be discomforting. It's going to be uncomfortable because what you guys have been doing for the last however long that hasn't been working, you guys have built this pattern up, right? And we have these things in our brain. We have neurons in our brain. And what happens is when two neurons that fire together, wired together. So for 20 years, you guys have had these neurons that have been firing. And so those neural pathways are so easily traveled, that when you're trying to do something different, it's like you're creating a whole new road in your brain that wasn't there. And so is it difficult? Yes. But then you have to look at the other side. Like, I remember talking with one person and they're going, they literally said, there's no point of trying at this point. They didn't want to get a divorce, which I was thankful for. They didn't want to try anything new because their statement was, well, we've been doing this for so long. I guess I'll just die with it like this. And I'm going, that's really sad to get to that point where you're going to just not meaningful endurance. You're just going to live like that when there's a bright future on one side that you could have if you would be willing to put the work in. And here, and I know we're running a little low on time, but here I do want to bring this up because I think it's important, because you may have one spouse that's listening to the podcast and they're going, okay, well, I want to try something different, but my spouse doesn't.
Yeah, and we say that all the time.
So what do I do then? So when you think of it, like my MFT brain thinks of things systemically. So if you have a couple of variables, right, in any given system, we'll use A and B. And I think I've talked about this before on the podcast. So redundancy is a great teacher.
Oh yeah.
So. Because I have people that, I'm the only one trying to do things in the marriage. Great. So, because what happens is you have these patterns that are circular. So A influences B, B influences A, and they go, well, what happened first? Well, did my husband start doing this, which caused me to withdraw, or did I withdraw, which caused him to start doing whatever he's doing? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is that this is what you're doing now.
Yeah.
I don't care who started it, but the fact that you're wanting to do something different, if you take out A, there's going to be a change in B because there's that feedback loop isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does.
Like instead of withdrawing, you do something different. And what we've found in our work as marriage and family therapists is that once one variable starts changing, just naturally, because it causes tension, right? And there's some of that you're dealing with discomfort, causes tension, which is going to cause movement. It's going to cause something to happen. And so if you're that spouse, you're going, well, I've woken up next to a stranger. Mm-hmm. I don't know who my spouse is anymore. And it doesn't appear they want to do anything different. Then you do something different.
Yeah.
You remove your A variable to where they're going to have to do something different.
Yeah, you elicit a response, right? Because you are changing things.
Yeah.
And that's going to force your partner to make one of those decisions. Absolutely. As well, right? Are they going to continue doing nothing in light of this change,
right?
Which they can't ignore it forever, right? Maybe a while, but they can't ignore it forever. Or are they going to step up to the plate as well and say, hey, are you right? Like, you're trying, I need to try, right? Or you're dragging me along. Right. And there's times, it's about new experiences, based on how we're wired. You know, one partner may not want to try new experiences, but it's really, hey, like we're married. Right. And you've said before, I'm talking to couples like, you know, do you think your spouse is a psycho?
Right?
Did you marry a psycho?
Did you marry a psycho?
No, you didn't. Right. So they want to try a little, like, let's go give it a shot. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, as long as they're not talking about playing Russian roulette, like, hey, you know, or chicken with a train, okay then. Cause you never know, right. You never know if you'll enjoy it. You never know what experiences that may create for you. And so, you know, if you're a couple in that relationship where you're the one listening to podcasts, you're the one reading books, right. You're the one trying and the other one's not, keep at it. Right. Yeah. And try to come up with other solutions, other variables that you can modify. We talk about five love language, talk about the five money personalities, talk about Enneagrams. I mean, there's a ton of these resources out there. And, a lot of those, they just give you some information, right? Not saying you're living and dying by them or you're using excuse or anything else, but it does, it helps you know yourself and helps you know your spouse better. And there's a lot of tools and resources available online, to kind of help guide you, because I'm a firm believer any marriage can be happy and thriving and successful. I don't consider a successful marriage one that's just endured.
Absolutely.
Right. Like I tell people all the time, and we say this a lot, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
Like, I want a winning team. Right. Right. Like I want to be the Yankees of marriages. Yeah. Right. Like whether you love them or hate them.
Not the Cleveland Browns.
Not the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, right. Like, I want to be one of the teams that have a consistent win streak. Right. Right. That they're trying, that they don't mind spending the money in order to make their marriage as good as they possibly can. And so we tell people even now, like, man, you say you don't have money to go to a marriage conference. Right. But like, dude, you guys just went on vacation.
Right.
Right. Like, come on, like you've got to invest in your marriage, right? And so if you're waking up next to a stranger, and we didn't get a chance to talk about waking up to somebody you're not physically attracted to, right?
Yeah.
That's we didn't get into that one today, but we will, because that does happen.
Sure.
Because again, we change, whether that's medically things have happened, right? Or whether it's just, hey, they're comfortable and, you know, they've gained however much weight or they've lost a ton of weight. Right. And so that's a topic we're going to be discussing.
Absolutely.
That's a big one.
Sure.
We deal with a lot. Well, you know, I find XYZ online so much more attractive, right? And online I can't wait to talk about that. Yeah. We're going to get really deep in the weeds there.
Yeah.
And so we do encourage, right? Find those resources. Our website has tons of resources. We're releasing more on social media and connecting with different things. But any last words, Jeremy, any final resource? Say, what was the name of that app you said?
If you go to the app store, just type in Gottman, Gottman, and it'll be the first one that comes up. It's a red app and has two hearts on it.
It's free. It's super easy to use. And we encourage people to use it all the time.
Yep.
And so check it out. We'll put the link as well in the show notes. And we will see everybody next time.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.